of scriptures. And I wouldn't fault you this evening if you thought that my brother and I had consulted as to our messages, but I can assure you that we did not, and yet at the same time, it would seem as though the Holy Spirit of God was leading us in the same direction in relation to our messages this evening. Much something of what he said I will be repeating, and we are praying that the double emphasis will be used of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I want you to read with me, please, first of all, in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And we are going to read verse 7 first of all, and then drop down to verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them which obey not the gospel of God? What shall the end be of them who are lost? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly, the lost, and the sinner appear? Now, I want you to turn with me now, please, to Luke's Gospel and to chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and verse number 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Now, Matthew's Gospel, please. And we are going to read in the last chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, please. And we are going to read now. We'll read verse 1 and then we'll slip down in the chapter further. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. Now further down, please. Verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. A final reading in John's Gospel, please, and in chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. Verse 1. The Lord Jesus is the speaker. He's speaking to his disciples. And he says in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, thither, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Lord will bless to our hearts the reading of his word with the message that we have already listened to. I want to relate to you an incident that happened just 10 weeks ago yesterday. It has had a profound impression upon me. And I would feel, I would hope, that it has changed my gospel preaching. My wife and I were sitting at breakfast, and the phone rang. My daughter was on the phone, and through her tears, she told me that a very dear friend of ours, a young man, 22 years of age, his name Scott. Scott had been killed that morning, driving to his work in the fog. He hit a bank. The car tumbled over. Scott's body was brought out of the car. In a moment, Scott was with the Lord. That has been Scott was with the Lord. That has been a deep blow to us. We knew Scott personally. We loved him as a son. He was very, very dear to us. A little while later that morning, the phone rang again. And it was Scott's parents to ask me, would I conduct the funeral? And I just couldn't give them an answer. We were heartbroken. I thought I just couldn't face it. I said, I'll call you back. My wife and I prayed about it, and I called them back to say, yes, I would at least try to conduct the funeral. I'll never forget that funeral on the Tuesday afternoon. That funeral parlor was packed to the door. Business friends of Scott in the ambulance service where he worked were there from Ottawa. Quite a number of the believers from Ottawa were there, a distance of likely over 100 miles. I preached the gospel at Scott's funeral. It would have been his desire that I should. Scott was a young man that knew the Lord. I remember pointing to the clothes casket. Scott's body had been mutilated. And I said, there are some of you relatives and friends here, relatives of Scott's, and you're not saved. I said, take a good long look at this casket. If you die without Christ, you'll never see Scott again. As the crowd was dispersing, a young man came to me, and like most of us, he was in tears. He said, "Mr. Noble, I'm Scott's cousin." We chatted a few minutes, and I said, "Son, do you know Scott's Savior?" He said, "No, sir." Oh, if I had only known. I wouldn't have let that lad go so easily. That was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The young fellow had got on his motorcycle after he had left me. The family had a cottage out in the country, and he was heading out, going over a railroad crossing. The poor lad thought he could beat the train. In 3 hours, that lad was in God's eternity. My wife and I went to the funeral parlor, and there was another closed casket. I wasn't asked to take that funeral. I was glad I was. I wasn't asked because we had no guarantee that the lad was saved. Young folk, tonight, is it any wonder that I've said that has changed my preaching? Is it? There are some of you young folk in this gospel meeting tonight, and you're not saved. And I know you're not. Your names have been lifted to the throne of grace again and again and again. And God has spoken very loudly to some of you. Maybe instead of listening to the voice of God, you've been rebellious in your heart. In the goodness and mercy of God, you're in a gospel meeting tonight. You're not in hell. As my dear brother has said, you're lost. But thank God there's an opportunity that ere you leave this auditorium tonight, you could be gloriously saved. Because my Bible tells me that the gospel is God's power unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Oh, may God help you tonight to be simple enough to believe the gospel message. May God grant tonight that the Holy Spirit of God will so work that you'll be broken down, young man, young lady, in the presence of God. The preachers couldn't do it. We're impotent as far as that goes. But I believe tonight the Holy Spirit of God is at work. And I want to take up my brother's thoughts. And I want you to go a little bit further than even he went, or maybe rather emphasize what he said again. Not that I'll emphasize it any better. Please don't misunderstand me. But my dear friend, in the verses that we've read tonight, I want you to take a number of looks. And I want you, first of all, to look forward to the end. Have you the courage to do that? Have you? Then, dear friend, as the Holy Spirit would move upon you, and as the pains of hell would get hold upon you, as you find trouble and sorrow, Oh, may the Holy Spirit help you to take a second look. Look away to Calvary. Then I'll want you to take another look. A dear old aunt of mine, she really was my mother's aunt. When I started to do a little bit of preaching away in Ireland, she was a godly old lady. She used to say to me, Jackie, never preach without mentioning the resurrection. And my dear friend, tonight we want you to look with us at an empty tomb. And we want you to look tonight at a blessed Lord Jesus that is soon going to leave the throne and come to the earth. Four simple looks. Are you prepared to come with me just now? Are you? My friend, first of all, has the words that my brother so faithfully has preached by the power of the Spirit, have they gripped you? That down this side here and over here and in the center of the auditorium, if you've never had a moment when you trusted Christ as your Savior, tonight, dear friend, you're lost. As my brother has reminded us, you're in danger now. Oh, just presently, my dear friend, you're spiritually lost. But there's the awful danger that inside 24 hours, dear lad, you could be eternally lost. Dear lady, tonight, not saved. Let me say again, you're lost. And let me warn you, let me wave the red flag tonight and tell you there's a danger that you will be lost throughout the endless ages of eternity. Come with me. Peter asks the question, what shall the end be? My dear friend, I would like to say right off that the preacher will never know the end. Thank God for that. Because like my dear brother, there was a happy day. And it's a lot longer than my brother. Over 50 years ago, one Monday morning away in Northern Ireland, there was that happy day when I realized that I was a poor, guilty sinner, that I was lost. Have you realized that yet? Come on now, have you? Have you realized that you are lost? That Monday morning as a lad of 17. As I read the lovely words of John 3:16, a friend concerning me, concerned about my soul, had given me a letter. And my friend, in that letter, without any salutation or any signature, although I knew who it was from, I don't know whether you could call it a letter or not, but it was life-giving. These lovely words were written, and I'll show you exactly how they were written. They were written like this. For God so loved Jack Noble that he gave his only begotten son, that if Jack Noble believes in him, and then in brackets were these lovely words, God said, Jack Noble believes in him, God says, he'll not perish, but he'll have everlasting life. Then at the word, at the bottom, there was a quotation from 1 John chapter 5, and the words were these. Are you going to make God a liar? Now, friend, let me take you back a moment or two. Like my dear brother, I was brought up in a very careful way. Oh, I used to smoke in the quiet and then eat peppermint so that my mother wouldn't smell my breath. But I had never drank. And thank God I had never gone down the dirty side. But I was a sinner. I was lost. Then there came that time when, friend, the burden of sin weighed upon me and I longed to know Christ as my Savior. I had tried to believe. Oh, I had gone over every verse, possibly in the New Testament, with the word believe, and I had tried to believe, and I would try to work up something, but it was no good. 9 weeks' meetings had finished, and I thought of us as Brother David spoke. 9 weeks' meetings had finished, and on the Monday morning, I went to my place of business as I picked up that little note and I thought there's no salvation for me. And I read again that lovely verse written for me. For God so loved Jack Noble that he gave his only begotten son that if Jack Noble believes in him, God says he won't perish but have everlasting life. And do you know, for the first time, I stopped trying to believe to be saved. And for the first time, I believed what God said, and I rested on what God said. And my dear friend, that's over 50 years ago. Almost 52 years ago. And thank God it still stands good tonight. Friend, this evening there is salvation for you. You can be saved. You could be lost by rejecting God's free offer of salvation. Now come with me. And I want you to come with me tonight, dear friend, step by step. Because I want you to take these steps tonight, leading a soul to eternity, a soul not saved. And I want to quote to you the words of Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 10. Listen to what it says. It says, and I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. I'm taking a moment now to speak to those whose loved ones that are saved. You've been brought to the gospel hall, to the gospel meetings. You were carried when you couldn't walk. You came and you went, and you came and you went, and you came and you went. What does my text say? And I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. They came for the last time. Oh, it doesn't need the motorcycle accident. My brother was just telling me before the meeting about a little girl of 14 in Glen Ewe, and I knew her. Little girl not feeling well, and in a few minutes' time in God's eternity. And I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. I remember a godly preacher in Northern Ireland. He was a big help to me after I was saved. I remember one night listening to him preach the gospel. And he said, this, and it gripped me. He said, young friend, and his voice was trembling with emotion. He said, young friend, Oh, we don't use the nice word casket in Ireland. He said the coffin may be in the undertaker's shop that will hold your body. And I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. But do we finish there? Does death end all? My dear friend, let us go a step further and come with me. You've slipped out into God's eternity. That sudden accident. You're gone. Before that body of yours would be cold, your soul would be in hell. My Bible says so. Listen to the finality of it. And the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. You could be sitting tonight comfortable in this gospel meeting. At this time tomorrow night, you could be in hell. My brother has already spoken about that. But my friend, we don't stop there. Revelation chapter 20 tells me of the great white throne. My brother has said, and I agree with him, that if hell ended all, it wouldn't be so bad. But there's coming a day when you from out your lonely tomb shall stand in judgment's awful doom. And there's coming a day, my dear friend, when body and soul united stand before God. And the books are opened, and the dead are judged out of the things that are written in the books. The hymn writer has penned the solemn words, what will you do in that great day, when heaven and earth shall pass away, when all the pomp and glory here, like morning dew, shall disappear? And you, dear lad, reared in a Christian home, dear girl, prayed for before you were born, and you, not your sister, not your brother, he's saved and going to heaven. Your sister's on the way to glory, not her, not him, and you from out your lonely tomb shall stand in judgment's awful doom. And the Father's prayers will be of no avail then. No. Mother's prayers won't be heard then. Too late. You've already experienced the torments of hell. And now, dear friend, you stand before that great white throne upheld in space. I want you to look at the judge yonder on that throne. And as I look at him, he bears marks. There's a scar on his brow. His hands are pierced. His side is riven. His feet have the print of the nails. And as you look at him, the awful thought grips your soul. He could have been my savior. My friend, tonight, The Lord Jesus is standing and he reaches out arms to you. Hands that were marked at Calvary. He reaches them out. And by the Holy Spirit's power, he says, come. He says, come unto me and I will give you. What will he give you? He'll give you joy. The world can never do that. He'll give you peace. He'll give you satisfaction. He'll give you heaven when earth is past. For that one who tonight is the Savior. Revelation 20, he's the judge. God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. My dear friend, time goes so quickly. My brother was more than generous, and yet time races on. And I want to bring you to the final stages of that awful assize in the sky. Heaven and earth has already passed away. There's been found no place for them. And my dear friend, whoso's name was not found written in the book of life, is there a search to see that perchance it might be there? No, friend, 1,000 times no. The book is open to show you that it's not there. And my Bible says, and whoso's name was not found written in the book of life. I understand the force of that word is terrible. Was flung headlong into the lake of fire. And the divine commentary is, this is the second death. The last face you'll ever see will be the face of the Savior, then the judge. Young man, young lady, tonight I wouldn't be in your shoes for 1,000 worlds. But tonight I want to present to you again the message of the gospel. And I want to take you away to Calvary. Let me quote to you those lovely words of script, those lovely words of the hymn writer. 3 crosses standing side by side, of broken law a sign, 2 for their own transgressions died, the middle one for mine. And I borrow my brother's text, as he quoted the lovely words, but he was wounded for my transgressions. Dear lad today, not saved. Dear girl without Christ, put your name in here. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He died for me. He was bruised for my iniquities. The bruising, the crushing of the blessed Christ, not only physically, but in the hours of darkness, crushed beneath the weight and the burden of sin. He was wounded, he was bruised for you, for me. The price of my peace was laid upon him. And my dear friend, I love at this point to quote that lovely hymn, because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free, for God the just is satisfied to look on Christ.
pardon me. My dear friend, God was so satisfied with the death of his well-beloved son, that if you'll but acknowledge yourself as a poor sinner, and thank him for dying for you, on the authority of God's word, tonight you have everlasting life. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son, and if you saw my Bible at the side of my Bible, and on the space at the side are these words, God says, he that believeth on the Son, God says. Oh, my dear friend, can't you rest tonight your soul for eternity, not on your feelings? But rest your soul tonight on the unchanging, unalterable, eternal word of the eternal God, the God that cannot lie. He says, he. And I would love to put your name in, only it would embarrass you. I would put my name in, and as I do, would you put your name in? Oh, you may have sinned against God. You may have sinned against your parents. Your sin tonight may be as black as hell itself, but the precious blood of Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Tonight, dear friend, as a poor, guilty sinner, come to Calvary. Realize the wonderful words, wounded for me. Oh, thank God. Wounded for me. There on the cross. He was wounded for me, and I thank him for dying for me. And my dear friend, the truth of the hymn is backed up by the word of God. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. Will you accept the sacrifice of Calvary for yourself this evening, will you? I look away to Calvary. And we sing with joy. So very often, there is life through a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then, look, sinner, look unto him and be saved. Before you go out of that door, no matter which door you choose, before you go out of the doors tonight, you could be enjoying God's salvation full and free through a personal acceptance of his beloved Son and the worth and value of that precious blood shed on Calvary for you. And yonder friend, we read the lovely words, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And I link with that the lovely verse in the book of Romans. Christ died for the ungodly. Is there one in this company now? And you're going to say quietly within the bosom of your own heart, you're going to say, Christ died for the ungodly. I'm the ungodly sinner, and he died for me. I've been salvation. Yes. So, my dear friend, we have the glorious, tremendous truth. Something happened now that never happened before in the history of the world and will never happen again. A blessed man. And he died voluntarily. He died of his own free will.
in relation to the Lord Jesus, death was not a process, but it was a definite act. Christ died. My dear friend, he died for you. But you know, we don't finish there. My dear friend, if we had to close the book at that, we would not be here. But we want to tell you, and tell you with joy, that our Lord Jesus Christ, he lives. Don't we sing and sing lustily, up from the grave he arose, with a mighty victor o'er his foes. He arose! Hallelujah! Christ arose. And my dear friend, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus stamps his death with God's divine approval. Christ was raised from among the dead. And my dear friend, we present to you a Savior who died, yes. But we present to you a glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Savior lives. 5 minutes to nine and I'm going to close. I want you to take another look. Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now. Oh, he's returning victorious. One of these days soon, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. To his own, he said, if I go away, I will come again. And my dear friend, there's not a verse in God's book to be fulfilled before the Lord Jesus comes to the earth. Only his actual coming. And the believers in Christ might hear that shout tonight. And there's many. And they would say with reservation, even so come Lord Jesus. Why the reservation? Because you're not saved. And you're not saved. And you're not saved. You're still lost. And while your loved ones are longing for Christ to come, yet their hearts are breaking lest you'll be left behind for the awful judgment of God. It is awfully possible that tomorrow morning your mother won't call you. Father won't call you. Jesus will have come some of these days. It's going to happen. Oh, my friend, ere you sleep tonight, if my brother and I can be of any help to you, if any of the dear brethren with experience here tonight in leading souls to Christ can be of any help to you, we'll be delighted to sit by your side. Don't let your pride, don't let your fear of man or what the friends might say damn your soul for eternity. You have the most precious thing in your bosom, your precious soul. It's a precious jewel, and to lose it, to lose it, would be to lose everything for each other. The Holy Spirit of God is speaking. You've realized tonight, friend, you're lost. I believe you've realized that. You've had a little look, dear friend, to the end. You've seen the doom of the Christ rejecter. You've had a look away to Calvary. You've seen one bearing your sin in his own body on the tree. Oh, dear friend, if after tonight you miss salvation,
what an awful eternity. What an awful lake of fire will be yours. Be wise tonight. Don't let anything or anybody keep you from trusting Christ as your Savior tonight. God's time is now. Tomorrow is eternity, just hidden from your view. May God bless His Word, and may you come to know the Savior tonight.